In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
I'm going to do something a little different again today. Don't worry, we'll go back to normal next week. Don't be afraid. But this is Mother's Day, and I have three themes floating through my head. One is the holy fire, which we continue to have. This came originally, as you probably are aware, from Jerusalem, as it was passed on from Jerusalem on Holy Pascha, and now has come to America, and we have received it as well in our parish. The second theme in my head is stewardship, and the third theme is mothers. Okay, so we're going to throw them all together in a blender, and we'll see how we do. Okay? So this will be an interesting adventure. But there is this sense that, and I think maybe four or five ways that we can use this idea, this image of the holy fire, I think, to speak to us about motherhood. And the reason why I use the term stewardship is because stewardship is a really good symbol, I think, of how we take care of things. I can give you an example of stewardship in terms of this fire, okay? Now, if you think about what it took to get the fire from Jerusalem to here, people taking care of the fire, you know, and really, a lot of things are almost like out of your control. So if you've got this fire, you know, in a candle or something like that, you're on an airplane flying over the Atlantic Ocean from Jerusalem, what if you hit turbulence? You know, what if you go drop 50 feet or something like that? The fire's gone, okay? And so somebody's taking like really, really good care of this fire, you know, and to drive it all the way down from New York down to Richmond and over to here, etc. Somebody had to take really good care of the fire so that it could get here. And that's why I think this idea of stewardship is helpful. Now, I want to use this as an image of parenthood, and specifically motherhood. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a holy fire. Notice, I'm going to take it from the altar. Okay. So this fire represents the child. And the first thing I want to emphasize is the fact that this fire comes from a holy place. It comes from God Himself. So this is the child, okay, that now has come down, has been given from heaven, and entrusted to people. And specifically, parents, fathers, and mothers. And on this Mother's Day, we'll use the mother as the parent image to focus a bit about. And so I think the first thing to realize, and how this idea of stewardship can be at the heart of our understanding of these things, is to realize that the gift has come from God. This fire has come from a special place, from heaven. This child that you have been entrusted with has come from God. It's God's life. You could not give that child life if you wanted to. Just as I can't give a candle holy fire if I wanted to. And so, if that awareness is present, then there's a possibility that we might actually steward that which is given, in this case, this light, or in your case, your child, as God would have you do it. And if you lose sight of that, then there's a danger that the true value of your motherhood will be lost, and that being a caretaker of the life that has been entrusted to you, that you'll fail in some way or another. Okay, so the first point here is to realize where the fire comes from, and its infinite value. As the image of God, the child that you bear is the child of God, bearing his image. And so that's why this has to be before us at all times. The Lord said, you know, time and time again, he made it clear, this distinction between things that are valuable and things that are not. So he said, do not cast the pearls to the swine. Okay? He said to the woman that, you know, who had come to him, we had the gospel a few weeks ago, you don't cast your bread to the dogs. And of course the woman said, well, yes, but the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. But the idea here was that that which is meant, that which is holy, that which is good, must be cared for in a proper way. And if that's true of things of the world, then how much more so this divine, this spiritual grace, this person fashioned in the image of God that has been entrusted to you. And so receive then this light and this flame. By the way, the flame, it's a beautiful thing that, so when the child is baptized, not only is the child baptized, but then there's this candle that's given that shows you something new in terms of the spiritual character of the child. So that even as bright and as holy as every child is made in the image of God, but now the child that is baptized bears the life of Christ even more and takes even extra care, extra work in stewarding that life in a holy way. One of the dangers that can happen in this area is that it's the newness of a new child and a new birth. It's fascinating to watch here. You know, when the new baby arrives, and then, you know, it's sort of like for Jake and Kelly, you know, the new baby is like, you know, everything changes and you see this newness go on. And then they get into a rhythm and that sort of thing. And here's the downside of that is that rhythm of life, that ordinariness of family life, you can lose sight of that newness, of that freshness, of the true value of life. And so Mother's Day is a great day to just be refreshed in that awareness for you as mothers, and yes, as fathers, in capturing that awareness once again of the preciousness of God's gift to you. And akin to this is this idea of where it came from. But you know, there's another aspect of this. It's not only the idea of where this flame has come from. You can be reminded of that. But I want you to also be aware of where this flame is going. Okay? This one is going to go back to the holy altar after I'm done with the sermon. Okay? Your child is going back to God. And it may even be the greatest of sad moments in a parent's life, in a mother's life, when she has to bury her child. And there will be two ways of looking at that. It will be the loss of your child, or it will be an awareness that this child was God's in the first place, and that this child, as Christ, like Christ himself, as he said, I must return to the Father. So also it is with your children, with every one of us. We're meant to return back to the Father. We're meant to go back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And so it's just really helpful to realize that now, having received the child, that you have this awareness that that's that child's destination. Your child's destination, your little child, his or her destination is the Lord. It's to be with the Lord, it's to be in heaven. And so the idea is that parents usher their children along to heaven. And that's what this stewardship of their life is that guidance that you give to them. You know, one of the problems that can come here is actually in our own age when we have just all of these powerful scientific forces that can bring seemingly life into existence through fertility, you know, techniques and things like that. So much so that science can make it seem like this flame came from someplace other than God. From the will of man, or from some test tube. But the life always comes from God. Always. and whether God chooses to bring that life forth through some scientific means or not. In the end, we must keep that awareness that this life truly is of God. So, one of the things that every mother knows, and I think this is fascinating. By the way, one of these days I'm going to sit down and talk about the differences between mothers and fathers. Maybe we'll do this at the fatherhood sermon. But one of the things that struck me thinking about this was that the flame needs to be fed. Now, we've received the flame, and so this is an oil lamp, and so this morning before the service, I added a little bit of oil so that there would be, you know, enough oil to keep it burning. Of course, this is the symbol that we had from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 and the virgins and the oil and keeping vigil, waiting for the Lord. You know, that was important. So the flame needs to be fed. Now, the neat thing about mothers is you are equipped to feed. In fact, it's so amazing that even your body is equipped to feed. This is one of those differences between men and women, is that guys are not equipped to feed the same way that mama is. And this is like a really neat thing. And oh, by the way, that when mothers feed, there's just this beautiful synergy that happens. Okay? And it's a sign of what motherhood really is, this idea of feeding the child physically and the embrace that comes with it, so that what is fed is not only food, milk, but love. And the mother will stop feeding the child milk, but will continue to feed the child love throughout his or her life, not only even as a young child, but then as they get older. And maybe, dare I say, mothers, you ask me, is it harder to love the child as the child gets older? Maybe sometimes, huh? Yeah. Or if you're angry at the child, is it still possible to love the child? Yes. You have to get over your anger, though. You have to deal with that. So this idea of feeding is natural. Now, here's the thing about feeding. Every mother knows how to feed, especially Slavic mothers. Okay? Well, I think the Italians are a close second. But the thing is that, you know, isn't that a motherly thing? You know, part of the hearth, by the way, which is the fire at home, is feeding. You know, so you gather, you know, the synapses of the family for food. And then they are fed. And fed with love and fed with that connection that womanhood has as part of woman's being, is to connect people to one another. That's what love is, okay? But here's the thing. The child needs to be fed. The child needs to be fed throughout his or her childhood. But what are you going to feed the child? Now, we have the example today. You can go and get, like, good, healthy food. You could even, like, talk to the Malcolms, and they'll get you, like, really good, really fresh, healthy food, okay? Or you can feed them junk food. Okay? And guess what happens if you feed them junk food? And you can feed them lots of that, by the way. And you think, I'm loving them. No, you're not. You're hurting them. And then what you end up with is an obese child. Okay? Where the child is trying to feed him or herself on something that's not satisfying them. So what the child needs, though, in the spiritual realm and also in the emotional realm, is that true love and the true spiritual food. And that's what the Lord was talking about in part today in the Gospel of the Samaritan Woman. Food and drink. Things that will nourish the child spiritually. And you can feed the child all the food you want and the child will not be satisfied. And just like the Samaritan woman, at some point in that child's life, the child is going to cry out, "Give me this food that will make me healthy, that will make me and give me the ability to live forever, that will transcend this life." So the question then is, how do you feed your child this food? You cannot feed the child what you do not have, what you do not receive. So you have to learn how to receive. You have to learn how to go shopping for the spiritual food. Now, if you're a mother, and We're blessed to have Sarah here. One of the things that Sarah does is she writes to mothers about how to feed their children spiritual food in her blog. So if you want ideas, Sarah can help. As can some of the other mothers and women in our parish. But the idea is that we feed the children not only the things that, you know, will give them strength in their bodies, but also strength in their souls and in their spirit. And so that they don't grow obese and out of shape and lazy. So, the next thing I want to mention about the flame is that you have to protect the flame. Just as, I don't know if you noticed, when I was bringing the flame in, I sort of shielded it. Every one of you has ever taken a flame outside in the procession, you know, we use those little cups, right? You know what that's for? It's to protect the flame. And if you don't have the little cup, you got to use your hand and try to keep the wind from blowing it and all that kind of stuff. Okay, we know how that works. Because if you don't protect the flame will get blown so hard that the flame will disappear. Now, again, I think this is intuitive and instinctive to mothers. Let me throw out a term that you're familiar with, mama bear. Okay? Mother bear knows how to protect the cubs. I mean, they're tenacious about it. Okay? So you would think that, well, this is instinctive. This is intuitive. But spiritual motherhood has to go past that. Past just protecting the child in terms of whether there's a bully in school or not, or whether the child has his coat or her coat on so that the colds of the wind of winter don't make the child sick. But there is the need to protect the child in other ways, in spiritual ways. And I can tell you that children are subject to a deluge. A deluge is rain, heavy rain. Well, you take this out in a deluge, it's going to drown the wind. Okay? It has to be protected. There's a deluge going on out there in the world, spiritually, that will blow out the candle, that will stifle it, that will bring damage and protection unless it's protected. Okay, so part then of motherhood is to bring that protection. And by the way, you get to a point in life where you can't shelter your kids from everything, okay? But in a sense, you learn to teach them to protect themselves spiritually. You have to do that. That's why it's important, for example, in families, that the children be taught about things like sexuality. Because the wave of sexuality in our culture will wash over kids and wash them out to sea. And they will fall into sin and into temptation, and it may well ruin their lives in many ways. And it can be lost. And so what you have to do is learn how to children have to learn how to protect and be protected spiritually, emotionally, to guard your heart, to guard your life. Those are defensive postures and very much a part of the Christian life. And so this is part of what the child learns from the mother, is that guarding of life. And if the child strays into some place which is dangerous to them, to draw them back and to protect them and discipline them and show them that that place is a place of danger that can hurt them or destroy them. Okay? And destroy not just this life, but the divine life. The life that came from God. You see, that's what sin does. Serious sin snuffs out the candle of divine life. And so you see, the child is not alone in his or her baptism, but given parents to watch over and to protect, and godparents as well, for this particular role. The next thing I want to mention about the fire is that it needs to be shaped, it needs to be directed. There's a kind of a neat thing that sometimes you can put like this. You put the candle in some sort of cylinder that sort of shapes the way that the fire will burn. In fact, as the child grows brighter and stronger, then that fire can be useful for godly purposes. Think of a blowtorch. That's using the fire for godly purposes, okay? Funneling that energy, then that flame, in a way that can bring about wonderful things. And, you know, that process is one that, again, requires the shaping or the modeling of the flame into something that is special. I think of, in terms of motherhood in this regard, how the very modeling takes place by the mother herself. Okay? You are the model of Christian life for your child. You are the icon of Christ. You are the icon of the God-bearer in a special way. No mother that truly models Christ in this way, I think, any mother that does this will so love their children, and if their children are receptive in the least, there will be no hatred, no misogyny. There will be no hatred of women. Sadly, that arises more often because the mother is absent, or has not been part of the family, or the forces of evil have brought in a mindset that sees women as somehow less or of no value. Sadly, there are whole cultures that are like that. But in Orthodoxy, in Christianity, the mother's life is a flame that the child then models his or her life on, and that it becomes natural to become like your mother in that regard. Now, I would say this, and this is my observation in Orthodoxy, particularly among the Slavs, that is usually the piety of the mother, the steadfast flame of the faith of the mother, that will continue to burn brightly even within the life of her child a generation, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years later. I can remember Vladimir a couple of lampadas ago wrote a beautiful story or reflection on how his grandmother was an example to him of the faith. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. The motherhood and grandmothers have this way of fostering and showing and modeling this faith for years, for decades. Okay, and so this is why children need to be in the presence of godly women. And that's their mothers, first of all, their spiritual mothers, but also godly women in the church, the Panimatka, and others, to model this life and this love, this divine thing. The last thing I want to mention here is that, just to remind us, that the life is holy fire. Okay, it may not look any different than any other candle, but this is holy. And so what do you do with something that's holy? You treat it like something is holy. So when you come up, you kiss the icon, you know, or the cross. You treat it gently. You don't put it on the floor. You don't speak amiss about holy things. You keep honor before them and dignity, your own dignity before holy things. And so this again becomes the calling for a mother to see their own children as holy and to see themselves as holy. Okay? To foster the holiness. And again, this is just the awareness of where the fire and the life has come from, because it has come from God Himself. And that is the nature of it. The nature of it, there is this divine spark that is within us. And it's part of our, you know, this human anthropology, that once we're created, we bear this image of God forever, like the holy fire. And so we treat that as holy. So, do you treat your children as holy people? People who are worthy of Holy Communion. People who are part of the body of Christ. You kiss them. You treat them with gentleness. Touch them gently. Express love to them physically. And help them to receive that love. And to recognize their dignity and their holiness. to foster that holiness in their lives. So the children will indeed burn brightly as holy fire. There's much more that could be said about this, and this is about all I will say. But I just want to say this one more thing again. Every child in this room is much more valuable than this holy flame. This holy flame is beautiful and it's wonderful. But every child that is in this room is worth far more than this. Every child shines much more brightly with the light of Jesus, the eternal light of Jesus, the image of God. And, you know, and so is it not right that we would honor the mother through whom and whose body this light has emerged in the world? But also realize that it is a great, sacred, and dare I say heavy, responsibility to steward these lights, these precious lights that God has placed in our midst. Now, if there's anything I've said here in the course of this that's been kind of like, well, maybe there's something that, you know, hits you close to the heart, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or feel guilty or feel sad on Mother's Day. And no one will do this job perfectly, okay, save perhaps from the God-bearer herself. But there you go. There's a good example. If you want to learn how to do it right, you know, Mary becomes that living example of motherhood within the church. And so today I congratulate you, all of you mothers and grandmothers, all of you who are spiritual mothers in many different ways, on that gift that God has given to you in yourself, so that you could be the steward of what he has given to you. Because you see, to be the mother that God would have you be requires his grace. It requires far more than your physiology, or a good job, or a roof over your head. It requires the gift of the Lord in your heart, and fostered in your spiritual life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.